How you doing, H2O? You guys can hear me good, right? Y'all good? All right, awesome.
What's up? I can see you falling.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. I'm not going to be using that very much anyway, but yeah. Yeah, all right, guys. So it's good to see you guys today in the house of the Lord. Let's go ahead and open up in prayer real quick, and we're going to dive in, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, Jesus. Thank you for this wonderful group of men and women and children that are here to just learn more about you, Father, and to just spend time with you, Jesus. And we just pray that you will just open the word up to us right now, Father. Help us to understand what you're saying, Jesus. But we also pray that the Spirit will come into this place right now, Father. We don't want to do anything without you, Jesus. We want you to just flow through this place right now, Father. We're expecting great things from you right now, Jesus. We know it, Father. We know what you are capable of, and we love you. And we lift these things up to you in your precious, wonderful, and beautiful name. Amen. Amen. All right. So I'm about to tell you all a story that's partly dumb, embarrassing, enlightening, and weird. Does that sound good? Yeah. So some of y'all will know where I'm going with this. So how many of you have seen my 2006 Toyota Highlander? It's a peach SUV. It's like midsize. It's not too big. It's not too small. It's actually parked out in the back if you guys want to go look at it later. This car is very famous, but not for a good reason. And I'll get to that in a second. So I ended up getting this car at an auction in Texas before I came back up here for my master's in music performance. And it was so nice to have a car, man. I spent 4 years of my undergrad lugging that tuba up and down Broadway Street, up this hill. It's like 10 degrees outside. This thing is just killing my shoulder. My shoulder still hates me for it to this day. In fact, if I put the microphone up to it, it might sound like a cement mixer at any given moment. So if you hear it, that's probably what that is. But I was just so excited to have this car. And I just remember when winter came, and I had never dealt with a car during the winter because I'm not from a cold place. I'm from Houston, Texas. You know, we fry down there. We don't have ice. We fry. That's what we do. So during the winter season, I was like, huh, there's snow in my car. Okay. And so time goes on, and this snow kind of just sits there. And every now and then, you know, I flick the mat a little bit, get it out. I'm like, I don't want too much in here. I don't want to swim in this car. But there was a lot of times, honestly, I was too tired to do anything about it. I'm, like, leaving music school at 1 o'clock. I'm like, man, I got a lot of work. I don't feel like dealing with this car. It's too cold to be outside anyway. So a lot of times I would just leave ice and snow on the mat. You know, I've seen people do it in cars before. So I was like, hey, what's the worst that could happen? Months go by, and some earth smells start to come in this car. And I'm like, what is that? You know, like, because I never dealt with that in a car before. Like, back at home, we didn't have that problem. And I've been in people's cars up here, and I never smelled it. So I was like, what is that? And so then we get to, I mean, I kid you not, this was like over a year now. And by now, this smell is so bad that you would smell my car before you saw it. I had never smelled anything like it. I mean, it was the most embarrassing, nasty thing. It was like a combination of chocolate and mold. And so Micah Elliott and I affectionately named this car Mold Spice. So we legit used to refer to it as Mold Spice. They'd be like, hey, how's Mold Spice doing? I'm like, it still stinks. Nothing's changed. And this thing just got so bad to where I was like, okay, let me just deal with this. So the reason I didn't deal with it at first was because, you know, you guys know how it is as students where it's like, you're just trying to survive each day. You're like, man, I stayed up till 2 o'clock in the morning, had to get up at 6, rinse, wash, repeat. You're like, I'm just tired. I'm just trying to make it. I got to practice. I got to do homework. I got to eat. I got to go to the store. I got to da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so I just kept putting it off. At first, I had intentions to deal with it after one day. But one day turned into 1 week, which turned into 1 month, which turned into 1 year. And so after about a year and a half, I was like, okay, I can't deal with this anymore. So I started looking at YouTube videos. I'm like, on my phone, like, okay, all right. And I'm like watching this guy. He's like, he's on his knees, and he's going for it, man. I'm talking. He's like, and I'm like, all right, yeah, I can relate to that. Let's get it. And so I get a little scrubber, and I get some spray, and I lit this car up, man. I was like, you know what, Mold Spice, we about to get into it. And so I spray this thing down. And then there's a sharp bristle on it too, man. I'm telling you, I was tearing up the carpet in the car. I was doing it so hard. And I even got the thing detailed. And the smell was still there. And this was, I mean, Pastor Nino probably remembers this because I would talk to him about it because it was distressing me. This was like, I almost needed counseling for this. I talked to Mike and Elliot about it. Yeah, and Elliot, man, he always had the best responses. He would just, every time he saw that car, he would just be like, he wouldn't even open the door. He just, yeah, it still smells like it, doesn't it? Like, he's asking me that as if I don't know. I drove in this thing. I know what it smells like. And so time just goes by, and I'm at my wit's end. I'm getting to the point where I'm actually starting to get legitimately upset. I'm like, all right. So I finally am just like, okay, let me just call one of these shops and see what the deal is, see if they know what this is. And so I call the shop, and the guy's like, oh, yeah, that's probably just your evaporator box. And I was like, that's it? And he's like, yeah. So I was like, huh. So I go, I take this thing in, get the evaporator box dealt with, and sure enough, the smell's pretty much gone. Now, the crazy thing is that because I had waited so long to get this done, this car, even with everything changed out and everything, it still had the scent months later. And at its peak, it was so bad that anyone or anything that stayed in this car for longer than 5 minutes would either kill over from a headache, would smell like mold for the rest of the day because it would seep in your clothes. You guys know how mold works. It's like the spores just, you know, blow through the AC, and it's just like, ooh. And it gets in your clothes, and then you walk around smelling like moldy chocolate. And it wasn't good. But we ended up dealing with it. You guys feel free to, you know, get me after this. Be like, hey, I want to smell it. Because I don't think it'll smell now. But, I mean, if you're lucky, I mean, Ellie could probably smell. He always found a scent. He sometimes go in there just to test it and be like, man, I want to see if it's... He'd be like, it's almost gone, but I still smell a little bit over here under the mat. He would just tell you the most random place where it was at. And I was like, man, this dude is crazy. But for the most part, it's gone now. So why do I tell that story? Why did I just spend at least 5 to 10 minutes telling that story? So what does this have anything to do with church? Is what you might be asking right now. And don't worry, we're going to get at it. So in this story, and bear with me because no analogy is perfect. We all know that. But my car loosely represents the heart of the Christian believer. The mold represents the sin. And me choosing to acknowledge the problem, which is the sin, represents confession. So what does it mean to confess? And why is it so important to the Christian walk? So the word confess means to agree, to admit, to say the same thing. So basically, when we confess before God, we are agreeing with him about our sin and ultimately aligning ourselves with his holy perspective. Now, this is beautiful to our Father because it requires that we acknowledge two things, his righteousness, as well as we have to humble ourselves to admit that we were wrong. Now, going back to why it's important that we as believers confess to God. When we sin, we inadvertently create a barrier between us and God, very similar to how Adam and Eve did. And when this barrier is formed, it interrupts our communion and our relationship with Jesus Christ. When you look at 1 John 1:9, which don't worry about flipping to it, I'm just going to read it, we see that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So this is a beautiful, beautiful passage, and it really highlights the reality that confession is a gift. Confession is not something to be ashamed of. I think that's one of the greatest misconceptions that we have in our church today. And I'm not talking about Israel, I'm talking about just in general around the world, is we're ashamed to confess. We're afraid to confess. But it's a beautiful gift. It is a beautiful gift. And now I want to make something clear before I keep going, because this is a very important deal here. We do not confess in order to earn our way into heaven. We are not striving to achieve holiness in our own power by simply telling God that, you know what, God, I know I sin. So because I admit it, that means you have to forgive me, right? Yeah, because I told you I did it. I still feel the same way about the sin. I still like doing that sin. But hey, I told you I did it. And so we don't treat God as if he's stuck in some legal transaction with us. Like he has to hold up his end of the bargain just because we said what we did and we know it's wrong. No, our confessions need to be out of a sincere and genuine love for Christ in which we desire to become more like him. You see, God rejoices when we offer him our broken and contrite hearts. That is, hearts that are so distraught and saddened by our sin that we cry out desperately to our Father for forgiveness. And it is in these sweet, sweet moments, and I say sweet for a reason, because to us it feels shameful, but to God it's beautiful. He's like, hey, my son, my daughter wants to restore this relationship. That is so sweet and beautiful to the Father. He is eager to cleanse and forgive us. How many of us know that today? Amen. And so true confession needs to be coupled with and followed by true repentance, which will then result in us choosing to turn away from our sin and towards Christ. It's not enough to just turn away from our sin. We need to go towards Christ. The goal is not perfection. The goal is to love Jesus and to be like him. So I want to ask you guys, what good is our acknowledgement or confession of sin if we continually, willfully pursue it and we have no desire to change? Like, what purpose is that? And so I just want to briefly just tell you a little bit about myself. I'm not going to go too long here. I can go for 5 hours. I know no one in here wants to do that. I don't want to do that, but I can do it. So some of you may not know. It's actually really cool that Chris talked about the Conquer series, which was up there earlier. But I struggled with porn addiction for over 12 years of my life. And I can definitely say that there were times when I would pray for forgiveness before watching porn, as if acknowledging what I was doing was wrong was enough to earn God's forgiveness. Boy, was I lost. I really thought, oh, well, God, I confessed it, so that means you got to forgive me. Or I just knew God was so forgiving that, you know, oh, well, maybe if I at least say that, you know, I was wrong, he would have mercy on me. But what I learned is that sin will never satisfy, and it will always keep causing destruction. I was hurting so much, but I got to a point where I didn't even think I could talk to God about my sin because he would be angry with me. I felt stuck, alone, and isolated. I eventually got to a point where I would even admit my sin before the Lord, but I dared not even dreaming of telling others. And that was hard. It just felt like the weight of the world was just resting on top of my head. Not even on my chest, on my head. Have you guys ever tried to carry something heavy on your head? It's very painful to your neck. Don't do it. And so what I didn't understand, y'all, was that confession, when you're dealing with confession, God not only tells us to confess our sins to him, but also to the body of Christ. This is because God delights in using his body, which is us, to love and bring healing to one another. Amen? It's a beautiful thing. So sadly, I didn't understand this concept of confessing to others. You know, I didn't even tell people I was stuck in porn until my freshman year at U of M. So I was already 18, 19 years old because I was too afraid to be judged as weak. You know, I cared a lot about how I appeared in front of others. But eventually my sin grew so out of control that I realized that not only did I need to confess it to other believers, but that I needed the Lord's help just to even have the strength to open my mouth to do it. That wasn't even something I could do in my own power, and really none of us can. And so the amazing thing that happened is that when I finally shared with other Christians at H2O about what I was going through, I began to experience freedom I never thought was possible. And it was because I had so many more people lifting me up in prayer. I had a support system around me, and God blessed me supernaturally due to my willingness to step out and expose my ugly flaws to the body of Christ. And so again, God used confession in my life as a gift. And I'm here to tell you that he wants to do the same for you. You know, I'm no more special than anyone in here. God does not love me any more than he loves any of you. And so I know some of y'all at this point, I know this is kind of challenging. Some of y'all might be like, man, you want me to go and air my dirty laundry in front of the Christian body? Isn't it enough for me to just acknowledge my sin before God and just work on them alone without other people knowing my business? That was something I thought. I thought that. But to get a biblical understanding of the beauty of confession, I want you guys to flip with me to James 5, 13 through 16. So again, James chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. And give me a big old fat hallelujah when you get there. A big fat one. You already there? That was quick. I barely finished saying 16. You're like, hallelujah. Goodness. Bible college did you well, my friend. Ayo. And I'll go ahead and read in a couple seconds here. Is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Did you guys know that God moved that way through prayer and confession? I think that's incredible. I mean, y'all can give the Lord a clap offering or something. This is great. We're not doomed. God has given us a beautiful gift and a beautiful outlet to grow closer to Him and to have others who sincerely care and love us. That's beautiful. We don't have to suffer in this world by ourselves. Not only do we have the Holy Spirit and we have God and Jesus, but we have each other. That's a beautiful thing. And so while we're on the subject of healing, I don't know if, I know some of us, we were here Friday, but then we left. John Mark's thing, some of us had to go before we went out there. But I just want to encourage everybody in here right now. We always hear people say, oh, revival's coming, revival's coming. I think revival's happening right now. I think we're literally seeing it. You know, sometimes you don't see things until you look back 5 years later, and you're like, oh my goodness, that's what that was. So I want you guys to be excited, not because I'm trying to hype you up like I'm a DJ or something, but no, God is really doing an amazing work. We saw someone get healed on the Dyack. There were many other stories and testimonies of people getting healed. Yesterday, my foot, so I have flat feet like a duck, courtesy of my mom and my grandma. Oh, it's painful, man. And yesterday, my foot was hurting so bad when I got out of the bed, I could barely walk. But in staff meeting, we prayed for it, and now, I mean, Yeah. And it feels great. Like, it feels really good. And it started getting better right after we prayed. But I could barely walk yesterday. And so what's beautiful about this is that God is not just healing physical stuff. And James is not necessarily just talking about physical healing. What about depression? What about suicidal thoughts? What about addiction? What about all these different things that are plaguing this campus right now, as well as believers? God is, He wants to heal all of that. He wants to heal all of that, and He wants to use us to do it. Why? Because He loves us, and He wants to involve us in His good works. He doesn't have to involve us, but He wants to. He loves us. Think of it like this. Say if someone wanted to go fishing. They really like fishing. If they had friends, hey, such and such, let's go fishing. You want to invite people on things that you love. You know, you love them. You want them to participate. That's what this is. And so when we look at all the different ways that God can heal us, whether it be spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, whatever it is, God can and will heal it. And so why do I say all this? Because God, like I keep saying, is on the move. And I believe that He wants to heal people in here today. I know I'm not just coming off like a telemarketer or something like, oh, if you do this and pay $9.95, then it's no. I'm serious. God, I really felt like it this week, and I felt like it when I was praying. God wants to heal someone in here today, and possibly more than one person. I would even argue, yeah, probably more than one person. Like, He loves to heal. He loves it. He loves to see us be healed and grow closer to Him. And so in a few minutes, I'm going to open this floor up, and we're going to have the opportunity for people to step up and receive healing and forgiveness from our Father. And so as Christians, we should not be asking, do I have to tell my struggles? Do I really have to, like, man, do I really have to do that? Instead, let's look at it like this. What if we were like, why should I not tell believers about my struggle? Especially if we truly believe what James is saying here about God healing us through prayer and confession. If we truly believe in our hearts right now that God wants to heal us and He wants to bring us closer to Him and He wants to use us to do it, then why are we so timid and attempting? Like, why do we not want to get up and do it? And I'm guilty of this, too. I can definitely say, like, especially in undergrad, I was like, man, I'm not getting up there. Had these people in here looking at me. I did not want to get up. I was nowhere near as outgoing as I am now. I was not about that. And so it's important, again, to see confession as a beautiful gift, an opportunity to know and be known by others. And not as this horrible, embarrassing thing in which we're ashamed to be burned at the stake. Now, I do want to talk about something else, too. It also needs to be said that we as Christians are called to work to love people where they are at and to be loving and non-judgmental when people bring their sins, no matter how minimal or heinous they may seem. How many of us know that one of the quickest ways to run somebody out of church is to smash them over the head when they come out and admit sin? That is one of the absolute fastest ways. I don't know like what happens fast, if a rocket takes off to the atmosphere or people run out of church faster when they admit their sin and they want help and people just bash them over the head. And thankfully, I don't see anyone in here doing that, but I have seen, you know, in other circumstances where that happens, or at least heard of it. And that's not what God calls us to do. And so we have to speak the truth, but we have to do it in love. We have to be gracious. So now I want to go back to just real quick about Mole Spice, my car. That's what we call it, Mole Spice. And I want you to consider something. The funny thing is, I knew the damage it could do eventually, but I convinced myself that it wasn't a big deal. Because, see, as this thing was going on, I was like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it next week. Oh, man, I got a concert Friday. I can't fool with it that day. Okay, yeah, I'll do it next month. Okay, yeah, next year. And then it just spiraled out of control until Mold Spice was born. And so, again, this isn't a perfect analogy, but the moral here is that when we ignore our sin, which is the mold, in our hearts, which was in that case the car, and deny its nature, the confession, it will lead to some form of destruction in our lives, I can guarantee you. Whether it be personal relationships, emotional, physical, spiritual, mental, vehicular, whatever it is, sin hidden in darkness will always lead to some form of destruction. You know, I love what Solomon says in Proverbs 28:13. He says, "He who covers his sins will not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy." Notice God doesn't bash us over the head when we're like, "Hey, God, I messed up, man. I need your help." He's not like, "Oh, I've been waiting for you to come up here. He doesn't do that. He's excited. He's like, "Yes, let's get it. Let's build this relationship back, man. Let's grow close. Like, he's excited. He can't wait." And so I say all this not to condemn anyone and not to make you feel guilty or in any way, but I just want you to know that the fullness and freedom in Christ that comes from living transparent lives that Jesus calls us to is beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. But we all must decide that we will open our hearts to God and to other believers so that we may expose our mold and allow God to deal with it. This is crucial because only God can change our hearts. He just asked that we be willing to follow him and give up the sin. So as we close here, worship team, if I could have y'all go ahead and come up here. You guys sounded great, by the way, earlier. It was awesome. And yeah, we are really blessed with this worship team, guys. Yeah, come on. I don't want to hit this because it's too loud, but yeah. Oh, my little buddy. Oh, there you go, Chris. Look at that good steward right there. Hallelujah. Yeah, he's a rock star. Oh, man. D-Rec. Yeah, guys, so as I was preparing this sermon, a question came into my mind. And, you know, I'm a bit of an intellectual when it comes to God. I relate to him from reading and from just sitting for hours and just thinking about him or thinking about an aspect of heaven or, hey, I wonder what he meant when he said X. And so when I was preparing this, I came to a realization and kind of had a vision. And I saw Jesus standing in the altar and his hands just like this here. Basically saying, for those who want to confess and repent and want to see healing, come forward. And I got to thinking, I was like, man, if that happened today, we would all run up here. We'd run up here. I'm like, if Jesus was standing right here, I believe everyone in this room would run up to him if he said that. Why? Because we saw him and we saw, oh man, this is Jesus. He's going to heal us. We would expect We would have faithful expectations, which is beautiful. It's honoring to God, really, because we know that he's great, and we know that he can do anything. We know he's capable. And so then I pondered the question. I was like, so the only difference between that physical Jesus in the flesh right here and our situation right now is that we can't see him. The Holy Spirit is here. Where two or more are gathered in his name, he is there. And he loves us. So are we going to let us not seeing him be the reason why we don't seek healing? And so as we get ready to enter our last worship song here, I want to invite you guys up to the altar. I'm not going to pressure anyone. I want you to do it if you feel led to. And I just want you guys to enjoy this time of just opening up. Open up before God. And our staff would be more than happy to pray for you if you come up here. And for those who don't know Jesus, we also want to invite you guys up here as well. We'd love to pray for you and help you meet the Father. So, yeah. Feel free to come up, guys.